Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to Divine Intervention. This week, for not a change, because we've been doing quite a bit of it recently, but for a pleasant diversion, we are heading back to the world of beer, and a couple of beers that have been chosen for us by our guru in the Cape, Michael Olivier. Michael, good evening. Welcome.
John, thanks so much. Lovely to be with you.
Well, you're not just with me, Michael. We have a full house here. When they heard there was free beer, we had to turn some away at the door. With me in the Joburg studio, we have Stuart Thompson from Loxton Lager, Annelise Tulliat. I don't know if I pronounced that almost right.
Correct.
From Tulliat Family Wines. We have Dino Fagus, the proprietor of Prosopa, Pretoria's finest restaurant, and I say that every time I get a 10% discount. And last and not least, from Cova Advisory, who offers advice and consultation to some very large companies on how they can get a bit of money back from the government as opposed to having to pay it all in. Dwayne Newman. Dwayne, great to have you with us again.
Okay, thanks, John.
Okay, well, that's enough rubbish about who is here. If I could just retrieve the bottle from one of our tasters. It is called Aster Falk, and I'd better explain that second word is spelt with a V, V-A-R-K. Michael Olivier, what's it all about?
Well, an Aster Falk is a porcupine. These beers are made on Hoogeberg, which is a farm in Durbanville, which I knew well as a child. And they produce these two beers, the Aster Falk, and we'll talk about the Bonterbock just now. This one, I really like this this beer. It was a sort of, you need it on a sort of sunny Saturday morning when you're just getting lunch ready. It's brewed with yeast and then lagered for 21 days. It's got a most wonderful sort of malty, soft aroma, and then in the mouth you can taste sort of floral and spice from the hops there, and some interesting fruity characters coming through as well. Lovely, lovely gold colour, nice white sort of frothy head which hangs around for a while, and then it's very crisp and dry on the palate with a sort of faint sort of Horlicks type of sweetness there in the background. I find it very refreshing, very thirst quenching. I want another mouthful kind of beer, and I reckon you could have a good couple of bottles of this at lunchtime, and then not have too long a sleep on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Mike, I must say there's one negative for me in that I think it's probably the very strong malty taste. This reminds me of quite a few very low alcohol beers that I've tried because they obviously can't get all the good stuff in, so they exaggerate some of the other stuff. Is that just me, or do you see where I'm going?
I do see where you're going. It's 5% alcohol, so it's not exactly a too high an alcohol beer.
Okay. As I say, that's my only negative. Very, very pleasant. Maybe a little bit heavy to drink more than, say, 12 to 15 bottles in one sitting, but not bad at all. But what do I know? The man from Loxton Lager, who is himself a brewer, and we'll find out what else he knows. What are you making of this Aster Falk?
Thanks. Thank you, John. Very, very interesting indeed. Just an overall remark, I think. Fantastic to see the wine people joining the beer game. I mean, we need all the good players we can get. And, you know, to have Curly at Hillcrest and the guys at Remhuchter and these guys now, I hope that's not a reflection on the economic viability of the wine trade. But I'm sure it's not. In beer terms, I'm a little bit with John. I think this might be what's called slightly under-attenuated in the sense of they're ending up with 5% by feeding it quite well with a decent grain bill and then not really running it all the way through in terms of the fermentation. But that then gives them some body and allows them to play a little bit. It's got some wheat in it, and I think you'll pick that up in the pale foam, in the slight cloudiness, which maybe also gives it a little bit of a Weissbier character, that slight floweriness in the liquor. I think it's a little bit sharp for me in terms of the whole 15 bottles. I'd probably stop after 12 because it's quite well laden. It's a little bit clovey, I pick up, which is quite interesting. So, and they call it a hybrid lager, I think, or you know, some would call it a hipster lager, being authentic craft beer type of people. So you probably find, I suspect, that it's somewhere in that space between the pale ales, the vices, and the lagers. But very nice indeed. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, it's great to have somebody who knows so much about beer talking to us. Somebody who knows a lot about wine, and we're about to find out if she knows anything about beer. Annelise, are you enjoying this?
Strangely enough, yes. I'm not really a beer drinker, and I avoid my mainstream beers as a rule. But this is something I would quite happily have on a Saturday morning before we start with the brine and go over onto the wines. And also something that I would recommend my friends to enjoy as well with me in the kitchen while we're making the salads and so on. No, it's really very enjoyable.
Presumably it's all your men friends who make the salad.
Of course. No, we'll watch
excellent.
Them.
Excellent. Very, 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 very egalitarian. Dina?
Once again, I'm enjoying it. It's light. I don't know where you said it, where you said something about heaviness.
No. Yes, I think maybe the flavors are quite strong. You'd get through that if even with a fistful of nuts or something. That would have that would have helped me a bit.
Enjoying a lager, this is right up my alley. It would work very nicely.
Excellent. Well, we have a couple of fairly happy customers, I think. Dwayne?
I think it's a lot lighter than when I initially looked at it. And it's not as bitter either. I know the write-up on the bottle says it's crisp, but I don't find it bitter at all from a beer perspective. So I would, be lying next to the pool drinking this and making sure I don't fall in the pool would be a great start to a Saturday afternoon.
Well, not falling in the pool is always quite a good idea, especially if you're fully clad. I think, Michael, what do you make of all those remarks? I think in general, this is one that's gone down pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does go down pretty well too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, last orders, we have a second beer. Tell us all about that.
Well, this is the Bonte Bock, also from Burgerberg Brewing. I like this because it's got a nice sort of ale creaminess to it, right from the entry. There are some sort of light malty notes there, and slight sort of sweetness in the nose as well. You get the hops there too. Lovely colour, sort of medium type of head, and then you've got this sort of faintly sweet, faintly fruity, quite nice malty, little touch of bitter, and then a bit of sweetness there as well. Sort of medium in body. I like it because I actually find it very thirst quenching. This one has got malted barley, wheat, corn, and rice in it, so it's quite a sort of a grain filled beer, but really, really nice. And 3.8 percent alcohol is a nice alcohol if you're wanting to have two or three glasses before and during a meal.
Two or three cases, Michael. Let's not deceive our listeners. I like it. The thing I like about both these beers is they are distinctive. They're not something that you would just walk into a supermarket, buy six bottles of, and polish off without really tasting. Both of these beers are well worth relishing. Of the two, I think I prefer this one. But as I say, nothing wrong with the other one. I'm sure I'd get used to it after a glass or two. But what do I know, Dwayne Newman?
I think I find this a little bit more bitter than the other one. And I preferred the Ace to fight more than this one, but that's my personal taste.
Okay, Dino.
I'm with Dwayne on this one. The other one was my favourite of the two, but I just want to mention about how people's perceptions with this explosion of craft beers, people are more willing to pay more for a glass of wine and drink a better glass of wine, due to the availability of these beers, which are obviously more pricey than your regular SA Breweries type of stuff.
Okay. Annelise?
I get quite a hint of lychee in this one, but I'm going to concur with the other guys. I also prefer the stronger one. But this is lovely.
Okay, well, Stuart Thompson, rescue this poor, abused Ace de Fock, or whatever it is. No, that was the other one.
Right? I am going to rescue the Ace de Fock because the Bunterbock, which you just tasted...
People keep stealing my bottles, listeners, so I'm never quite sure what we're drinking.
I find the Bunterbock a little bit too much like a beer and soda. It just lacks a little bit of coherence on the second half of the palate, I guess, would be the pretentious way to express that. They do, in truth, in fairness, they're advertised as a lawnmower beer, you know, which is the kind of stuff you just want to knock down when you've got a bit hot fighting the kikuyu, either the mama or the lawn. And what's very interesting here also from a micro-industry perspective is those other sub-ingredients which Michael pointed out, corn and rice. Now, corn is sometimes known as maize, also known as millies. And in brewing, it's often known as corn syrup or fructose extract, the sort of thing that AFPROD produce it very subtly and industrially for some of the large brewers in South Africa. And rice is obviously the starch adjunct, which is used in a similar way by the Japanese and American mega brewers. So your Budweisers and Kirins and Asahis and so on, normally the quick sort of flash ferment that they get right, they feed that with accessible rice starch. So I guess this is probably quite quick and efficient from a production perspective, which maybe flies slightly in the face of some aspects, some tenets of the craft beer movement. But having said all of that, lawns have got to get mowed, people have got to get refreshed. But on balance, I was inclined much more strongly to the Ace de Fock with the R than the Bunterbock. But thank you for your time.
Well, thanks once again for a scholarly analysis. Michael, I'm right, aren't I, that the Germans have quite strong rules about what they can put in their beer, but unless you're sitting in Windhoek in South Africa or you're one of these craft breweries here, you can put just about anything into a beer, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, the rules are remarkably open in that you can put anything in, almost anything. But what's really fascinating is once you start exploring the world, you find that you don't get out what you don't put in. So it's really hard to actually try and get away with murder, which some people think that the big brewers do.
Okay, and Stuart, just on temperature, we've had both of these beers really nicely chilled, thanks to our host, Malcolm McDonald, who has set up our studio here in Joburg. Would you drink these at a nicely chilled temperature, or would you want them a bit warmer? Does it matter? Is either okay?
I think you'd probably want them cold. I think the Bunterbock would probably disappoint at a room temperature. The Ace de Fock might. I think it's probably got enough weight in it to get away with a low shelf temperature.
Dwayne, any thoughts on temperature of beer?
You know, I always like my beer cold, so it's going to come right out of the fridge. Down the throat, and as I said earlier, not to make sure I don't fall in the pool. But I mean, I think an interesting question for me is where the beers are going in terms of flavors, where they start adding a lot more flavors to beers. I mean, probably a good example, commercial example, is things like the Flying Fish, where is it a beer really? Okay, I mean, it sounds like it tastes like a lemon cool drink or orange cool drink, right? So I'd be interesting to hear the comments on where. How they're able to get away with nearly calling that a beer, where I don't think it's targeted at a beer market, or is it?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's generally those are referred to by the industry participants as flavored malt beverages. So they have some kind of a malt underpin to generate the alcohol, and then they've got some adjuncts. And yeah, those are amazing. Lemon and orange. I think there's an apple one now. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the citrus ones has got some rosemary in it, which is not what you would have thought of. But I mean, if you're cooking, you often use lemon and rosemary together. So this is the kind of exploration that's happening. But yeah, from a lot of perspectives, those would be seen as mega industries flavored malt beverages. They're inclined to call them fruit beers, and some people are inclined to call them fruit beers with the inverted commas on the beer.
That's right.
But you know what? I think people must, the market should be open. People should be free to explore and taste for the refreshment and the delight that they want. I think we need to be very careful about becoming a sort of a nanny state and trying to decide what's appropriate for people. People are big and ugly enough to make those choices. Possibly, flying fish could be criticized on the basis of sort of possibly taking a girl child to alcohol kind of thing. As I say, it's a free market, and I'm sure SAB would have absolutely no truck with anybody under 18 ever tasting a flying fish. So I would back them to the hilt in that way.
Unless, of course, they're out on the ocean and one jumps into their mouth.
Yeah, they'd be expected to spit it out. They're loyal members of the ARA, and I think we should really just solemnly respect that.
Okay, so yachtsmen out there, make sure you've got a spit bucket on your boat, as indeed we have here. Although it's only because we tend to taste quite a bit that we get rid of stuff. Normally, I think most of us would enjoy relishing this, and I'm sure before long we'll be relishing similar beers over our meal. And final question to Stuart. Loxton, how's it going?
Disturbingly well. What I mean by that is the last data feedback, if you like, I've got was from certain of the large supermarkets that start with an M, the warehouse stores. And Loxton's in on just three macro stores and starting to show a little bit of presence there. And that in the face of macro, which at a national level is actually down year on year in liquor sales volume. So never mind not meeting their budgets. It's a tough market out there. And therefore, really interesting now to be coming at it, attacking it with new products in the face of a falling overall economy. So let's not beat around the bush. It's pretty tough out there. And thank goodness for Loxton fans. Loxton seems to be holding up remarkably well.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but in the next few weeks, we will be trying a few wines, so don't forget to click on to Divine Intervention again very soon. It just remains for me to thank our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for choosing two very interesting and enjoyable beers.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you.
And to our virgin taster, in the sense that she's never been on our podcast before, although I'm sure she gets up to all sorts of naughtiness in her private life, Annelise Tullia, great to chat to you.
It was lovely, thank you.
And come back and chat about some wine soon.
Will do.
To Stuart Thompson from Loxton, we just find that when we have you on a beer tasting, you tend to dominate because you know so damn much about it. So thank you very much for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for your time.
And to Dwayne Newmer from Cova Advisory, great to have you back in the studio.
Thanks, John. Pleasure.
And last, not least, Dino Fagus, who opened the bottles of beer for us, and I think we'll have him as our in-house sommelier in the next few weeks. Dino, great to chat to you.
Thank you, John. Nice to be here.
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.